like to say it sure is good to be here this morning.
Bless you.
Is not this the land of Judah? It's not it. Was it not already testified that we're already living and walking in the sunshine?
Yeah.
I appreciate being here. You pray for me. I didn't know which way it was going to go, and I'm all right with whichever way it goes. I didn't know if the church was going to take it, and that's fine. But if it falls our lot, I want to try. I want you to help me. I do. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I'm just, I know maybe folks got plans today. I don't know for Father's Day and all, but I feel like it's needful for us to go ahead. You pray, amen, in Matthew chapter 6. If I didn't shake your hand this morning, I just don't know how everybody is about this, and just trying to respect everybody, so no disrespect. In that, Matthew 6, we'll read just a couple of verses, and start with verse number 25. Everybody knows this very, very well. It's been kind of alluded to already. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Amen. That's what we feel like reading this morning. And I really hadn't ever been one that thought I had to try to preach a certain message on a certain holiday or a certain occasion or anything like that. I'm not, but it has lined up that way, and this has been real close to what I was studying anyway before I even realized Father's Day was coming up. And so I guess I don't want to say it's a Father's Day message because it'll work any day, any day of the year, but I believe it's a Jesus message, amen, and I believe that's all we can preach, amen, and it's all we can and need to be preaching, but it does talk about having a heavenly Father, and certainly that's something we've all heard a lot, and I think that something we all say a lot, especially going in prayer. We acknowledge Him as our Brother Danny, our Heavenly Father. And I began to think about, and like we said, we've been doing some studying anyway along these lines, and I began to think, Brother Josh, on just what does that mean to have a Heavenly Father? What really does that mean? Does it mean that somewhere millions and thousands of miles up there above the sun and the stars and above space and all that somewhere there's a Father that looks over us? Well, thank God. Let's just look at that for a minute if we can. I want you to pray and get in here with us for a minute. I'm not long-winded, never have been, but you listen, thank God, and I'll just kind of cut to the chase and don't have time to lay it all out, but listen, to be heavenly is to be of heaven. It have to be, amen. And I never have, really, maybe since I was a kid. I looked at heaven as being a physical land somewhere way up there. That's just not the way I see it. And I don't know how everybody else sees it, and I won't split hairs or fall out with anybody. But in the study, and I've been looking into and doing, as we look at the Hebrew word for heaven, that simply means to be high and lofty. High and lofty, thank God. And you listen, thank God. And that's how I see Brother Caleb, our Heavenly Father. Thank God. Yes, He's high and lofty, thank God. Isaiah said, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts higher than our thoughts, and so are His ways higher than our ways. And you listen, God's not contained. He's a spirit, thank God. He can't be contained by a building, by a country, by walls, or by a city. city or by land. Thank God. Did not he say that he fills the whole heaven and the whole earth? Thank God. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you what a heavenly Father is. He dwells in a higher plane than you and I. Yes, sir. A higher reality. A spiritual reality. Yes, sir. You listen, thank God, one of the psalmists said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And the hills get you looking up, don't they? But did his help come from the hills? No, they didn't. And he cleared it up for us, Brother Josh. In the second verse where he said, my help comes from the Lord, thank God. Listen, Isaiah said, thank God. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. But he didn't see him some millions of miles up there somewhere. But he saw him in the temple, thank God. Yes, sir. To have a heavenly Father, thank God, I'm glad it means not that he dwells somewhere way up there, but he's here with us, just on a higher plane. Thank God, I wanted to lay that bit of foundation. But I want to say this as I begin to think on that and what it really means to you and I to have a heavenly Father. And I began to think about Caleb. Thank God how when I was little and a child, Brother Danny, and I did have an earthly father. He's gone now. But through him and by him, I had access to things that I couldn't access by myself. Yes, sir. Bear with me just for a minute. I didn't work. I didn't drive. I couldn't get in and go get a Happy Meal on my own. I couldn't put a roof over my head or food on my table. But through Mama and Daddy, I had access to some things. Listen, if you'll have it right now, they lived in a higher place than I did. They had more responsibilities, more things to worry about, more important things to do than I did. And if you'll have it, they dwelled in a little bit higher place than I did. But thank God, y'all know where this is going. But thank God, because of them, I had access to things that they had access to. Thank God. And thank God, that's what thank God, that's what it means to have a heavenly Father. Thank God, I've told you, he dwells in a land and a reality, brother, higher than you and I. But thank God it's not. I can get to that place. I can access that place. I'm in that place, thank God. Is not this the land of Beulah? And thank God to have a heavenly Father means that we have access to things that we can't access or get on our own, thank God. Yes, sir. Access to what? I believe Paul said through Jesus Christ and by faith we have access into this grace wherein we now stand. And I tried to preach on that last week. And I won't try to do it again. But Paul said, I'm standing slap in the middle of grace. Got my feet planted. Thank God, but without a heavenly Father to put us into that place, to reach down and pull us out of the pit we was in, we'd have never been able to get there. And I'm glad
Thank God that we have access through the Father. Thank God. Yes, we do. I've got access to everything that belongs to Daddy. Thank God. I do. I do. I eat the good of the land today. Yes, sir, and you should be too. And if you're not, you can be, thank God. Yes, sir. What do I have access to? I have access to Jesus Christ. You know, and I have access to God, the Father. Thank God. What is God knows how to give a gift, don't he? Is that not what he said in the very next chapter? Of what man is there of you? Whom if his... Whoa, thank God. I'm going to enjoy it. Yes, sir. Thank God. What man is there of you? Whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, thank God, shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. If our earthly fathers, and if we know to have give our children a good gift, then how much better a gift did he give us? And what did he give us? I believe he gave us himself. That's the greatest gift. I couldn't say that to my wife. That'd be, I guess, arrogant or wrong, that I'm just going to give you me. But thank God. Do you know, you might not see it like this or not, I don't know, but if God is all perfect and all loving, it would have been selfish for him not to create man and share his goodness with somebody. Yes, sir. He had to put that love in action. He had to do something with it. Thank God. And the best thing Brother Caleb could do for me and you was give us himself. And that's just what he did. That's what he gave Adam and Eve in the garden. It wasn't about grapes or apples or figs or pomegranates or rivers or anything like that. He gave them himself. He gave them fellowship with himself. And you know the story. Man broke fellowship and God brought it back in through, thank God, his son, Jesus Christ, thank God. Yes, sir. And that's what it means to have a heavenly Father. Thank God. Access to better things. I lived where Daddy lived growing up. Didn't you, Brother Josh? I lived where Daddy lived. Thank God, and I do it spiritually too. You might not have it, but I'm living in the same land where he lives, thank God. Yes, I am. Oh, thank God. This verse is that I read to you. Concerning that of the birds and all in the field, how he clothes the field, how he feeds the birds. This ain't about birds and flowers and grass. It ain't even about me and you and how he clothes up. It's about how good he is. That's what it's about. How good he is. But thank God, and I'm glad he'll give us physical raiment and clothing. And I believe with all my heart, you listen, these clothes on my back are from God. He gave me the ability to work and provide, and I give him the glory. But brother, it goes deeper than that. He clothed me. Woo! He clothed me with something better than a suit, thank God. Yes, he did. Thank God. I'd like to read it to you if I could find it. Where Paul was talking about it. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Thank God I've been clothed today, whether you'll have it or not, with the righteousness of God. I believe Ephesians said, put you on the new man. And I believe Paul said, put on Jesus Christ. Brother Josh, I've been clothed and wrapped in him, thank God. Yes, sir. I believe he'll clothe us naturally. I believe he has. But I believe it's far deeper than that. And I'll say this. He's talking about feeding those birds. And I believe he feeds us naturally. I believe, just like I do the clothes on my back, I'm that the food on my table's from God. And I give him the glory for it. But you listen, he's fed me with something far greater than a T-bone steak or a rack of ribs. Thank God. He's fed me from, well, he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead, thank God. But he came to give the true bread, the true life, thank God. And once we've ate of that bread, we can live forevermore, thank God. He said we are. Thank God, many many members of we being many are one bread and one body, for we have all partaken of that one bread, which is Jesus Christ, thank God. Yes, sir, I can't help it, y'all. Thank God Jesus fed 5,000 in one place. I just learned this week, and it blessed my soul. Hey, can I say this? Don't stop learning. Don't stop digging. Don't stop studying. And don't think you got it figured out. Oh, but he fed 5,000 in one place. And I'll try to make it short. But it was mostly Jews. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. And there were 12 tribes of the Jews. I believe to show he can feed them all. He was enough for all the Jews. But in one place he fed 4,000. Thank God, and took up 7 baskets full. And those were mostly Gentiles, representative of the 7 nations and completeness. And he was showing them, I took up 12 baskets. That means I'm enough for the Jews. 7 baskets over there in the other place, showing he was enough for the Gentiles. He's sufficient. He's enough for everybody. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'm glad to be fed from the bread that comes from above. Again, not from up there, but from a place higher and loftier than I dwell, thank God. Spiritual realm. Spiritual. Higher than me. I've drank from that land too. If you're saved, you have too, whether you'll have it or not. I think Moses was telling them, I think it was, when he was getting ready to go in Canaan, this land you're going to, it ain't like where you came from. It ain't like Egypt, where you water the land by your foot. They didn't get a lot of rain in Egypt, and they had to go down to the Nile and get water, water their crops and all. The land you're going to, Canaan land, land of hills and valleys, and he drinks the waters of heaven, drinks the waters from above. I believe I'm in that land, and I believe I've drank the waters from above. You might not have it, and I ain't through studying this out, but I believe that's the waters that were above the firmament. That firmament that separated our realm and God's realm, there were some waters up above that. It wasn't vapor. It wasn't water vapor that turns into rain. No, this was above the firmament, above the sun. There were some waters. I believe that's what I'm drinking in this land, whether you have it or whether you won't. Ain't it good to be able to partake of things of a higher land, a higher country, a higher realm, a better reality? And you know that place is more real than this anyway. It is. It is. That's more real. That's eternal. I'm pointing up, but it's lofty. That's eternal. Is that not more real than temporary? Is it not? Yes, it is. If we look at it right. Amen. That's what it means to be a child. But I wanted to try to bring it down to this. I hope I've tried to tell you how good it is to have a Heavenly Father. And I know as much as we tell you and preach it and yell it and turn blue and purple and slap the pulpit, that we can never really articulate it until you just feel it for yourself, how really good it is to have a Heavenly Father. And I could have went into all kind of things about what kind of father he is, loving, caring, compassionate, tender. He knows our frame, remembers we're but dust. I could go into all that, and I don't feel it's needful. But I want to ask, who are his children? Who are, because I think, and I've kind of been around kind of a thought process that, oh, we're all, everybody's just God's little children. Listen, we're all his creation. But there's a difference in a creator and a father. Whoever invented the hammer created that. He wasn't its father. That's a different relationship, ain't it? Ain't it? And I believe he's the creator of everything. I believe that. And I do believe in what, and I don't, they call it common grace. I get that about he reigns on the just, the unjust. And I'm the same sunshine that shines on you and I, naturally, shines on the lost and those that are far off. I get that. And I believe that. But there is a special relationship,
yes, amen.
A fatherly to child relationship when you are saved. So is everybody God's child? No, only the same. Who is God's children? Brother Stephen read this morning. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit. Another place, I'm just going to read it because I don't want to try to quote things and mess it up. You bear with us just for a moment. It's in John, John chapter 1. Well, I believe it says there, behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What kind of love has he given us that we could be a son? A fatherly love. He's took us in. I was trying to find it over there. I just realized I got a new Bible. I realized it didn't have a glossary in it. I was trying to find, but when he went and chose Israel, took them in, said he found them just out in the field. It's symbolic, but he found this baby out in the field, polluted in their own blood. Filthy. Nobody had cleaned it up. Nobody had washed it off yet. And the Lord took that little baby Israel in, cleaned it up. And when it was time for love, he took it in, spread his skirt over it, and made it his, made it his bride. Yes, sir. It's a fatherly love, amen. Took it in, wrapped his arms around it, loved on it. Who are the children of God? I believe it said that to them that receive him, gave he the power to be the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name.
Amen.
It's great to be able to say, I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
But unless you've been born again, you can't say that.
That's right.
You're part of the creation. And he's over you. He's Lord over you. I mean, he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, okay? He don't need permission to be that. He don't need permission. But in order to have that relationship, and it's good, I could just go, we could go on and on about how sweet that relationship is, that tenderness, that fatherly love. But in order to have that, well, you got to be born again. I was born to Barry Lee Smith, my earthly father. But I was born again August 27th, 1995. Into the family of God. I had to be reborn. Born once of the flesh, then born of the Spirit. That's all I got. I don't know your heart. If you're saved, rejoice in the fact that you have a heavenly Father.
Amen.
And know, I maybe you don't see things the way I do, and that's fine. But know that you have access to a better land.
Yeah.
To better things.
Yeah.
Because of that heavenly Father.
Sure.
And if you can't say you are a child of the King, if you can't really say it, that he is your Father, I'd ask you to come give your life to him. Come call out on him.
Yeah.
Amen. He's there. He'll listen. That's all I got. Brother Josh, come on. If he'll get a verse, I don't want to tarry on. That's all I got. I appreciate you bearing with us and praying for us, giving us liberty this morning. Somebody will get us a song, and let's all stand. If you need to pray, you come pray. What better day than Father's Day to get a heavenly Father, amen, to be adopted into the good family. Amen. You mind the Lord.